morning. Can you hear me? Am I on? Test, test, test. Cool. All right. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Brent Miller. I am Brian's brother-in-law, and Rachel is my sister, and wherever that cute little nugget Addie is, that's my niece. I have been a missionary with YWAM for the last 3.5 years, so it's truly an honor and a privilege to be standing before you guys this morning. How do you want to be remembered? If someone were to remember you after you die, what would you want people to remember you by? We have this idea of leaving behind a legacy. Maybe it isn't something you've thought a lot about, or maybe it is something that you've thought a lot about. But I think it's good to take a step back and look at the big picture of the impacts and fruits of our lives. Are you going to be someone who's remembered for resembling the Lord? Are you going to be someone who exhibits, or who is remembered for exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience? Or are you going to be remembered for being argumentative and pursuing worldly honors and things of the world? What do you want to be remembered by? What will your legacy be? I know for me, I want to be remembered as someone who truly walked in the fear of the Lord. What words do the phrase fear of the Lord bring to your mind? You guys can answer. Yes. Good. Guys, I don't even need to preach. I'm leaving. No. Yes, very good. The Hebrew word yare, which is fear, means to morally revere. And revere means to feel deep respect or admiration for someone or something. And I think when we think about the fear of the Lord, it's a reverence and a respect for God commingled with love. So for instance, I have a healthy admiration and respect for my earthly father, not because I have to, but because I love him and I want to obey him and honor him. And so I think this is something that is really lacking in the Western culture church as a whole today. There are many people out there who believe the God of the Old Testament is not the same as the God of the New Testament. They believe God is more loving, more gracious now, and in the Old Testament, he was more full of wrath. But Hebrews says he is the same yesterday and today and forever. He was just as loving back then as he is today, and he is just as holy and full of wrath today as he was back then. God doesn't change. Unfortunately, since people have this mentality, the church is becoming more lenient on things which were once morally wrong from a biblical standpoint of view. There is a pressure on Christians and also a fear within them to conform to the world's standards. And in other words, there is now a heavy pressure to be politically correct. In reality, this is not fearing God, but this is fearing man. Do you think this pleases our Heavenly Father?
No.
No. You're right. Just to give you a few examples, 54% of Christians now say that homosexuality should be accepted. 56% said that it would be appropriate to move in with someone after they had been dating for a time period of 6 months to 2 years. In a recent Christian Mingle survey, by the way, this is an online dating website, and if I were ever to choose an online dating website, I would have to not choose this one because of their name. Christian Mingle? Come on. It's a joke. But in this, in this survey, it said 61% of self-identified Christian singles said they were willing to have casual sex without being in love, while only 11% said they were willing to wait until they were married. And that's not that it's not that God is more lenient or accepting of these things, but we have made God into our image and not as he truly is as revealed in Scripture. And I think if we were truly walking in the fear of the Lord and we knew the whole counsel of God, as Brian mentioned last week, these statistics would be much lower. Family, I think it's really important that we understand how to walk in the fear of the Lord, and that we understand how to do this well. So practically speaking, how can we walk in the fear of the Lord in our everyday Christian lives? The passage from Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 13 gives us guidance as to how we can do this. Would you please read along with me in your handouts? Does everyone have a handout? Who needs a handout? Or who would like a handout? You don't have to have one if you don't want one. Okay, Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. So this leads me to my first point. In order to demonstrate a true fear of our Heavenly Father, we must obey him. And when I was studying through this passage and when I asked the Lord what he meant by walking in all his ways, I felt like he was saying it means to walk with him hand in hand in everything that we do. He never intended for us to walk in all his ways in our own strength, but to do everything with him. Every decision that we make, he wants us to include him in those decisions. And it's not like he's dictating, do this or do that, and then we do it because he says so, but it comes from a place of being in relationship. We should want his approval on everything that we do so that we can be in right relationship with him. And when we are obedient to him, it leads to intimacy, whereas sin separates us from him and it creates a barrier. God gave us his commands because he knows what is best for us. He loves us and wants to protect the intimacy that we have with him. And if we choose not to obey him, there are consequences for our actions because it says he disciplines those that he loves. I have a couple examples for you guys. We just recently finished up with our discipleship Bible school in YWAM Chittaquee. And in the 10th week of the school, the International Discipleship Bible School Director, or DBS for short, came and taught in one of the weeks of our school. And when he found out that I was going to be taking this school to Mexico and leading it there, he asked me if I would be coming to the first international DBS conference in Kona, Hawaii. And I said, well, is it a requirement? Do I have to? And he said, no, it's not mandatory. You don't have to go if you don't want to, but I would strongly suggest that you consider going because I think it would be beneficial for you, especially if you want to be leading the school in Mexico. So I thought about it, and in my mind, I was like, no, I don't think I need to go. I just got 3 months of training in Chittaquee. Why do I need to go to a conference, pay money to fly to Kona, Hawaii? And then a thought came into my mind, and the Lord said, well, did you ask me? Okay. I'm sorry, Lord. No, I didn't ask you. What do you want me to do? And I felt like he said, I want you to go because I think it would be really beneficial for you, especially if you're going to be leading this school in Mexico. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to go. I'll go. Now, I don't have the finances to go right now, but I know if the Lord's calling me to go, he's going to provide. Amen? I'm going to be obedient to what he's telling me to do. Now I'm going to give you an example of a time when I wasn't so obedient. My junior year of college, I started my first year of nursing school, and I was getting to know this girl, and I decided I wanted to take her on a few dates. So after I took her on a few dates, the Lord gave me some very clear red flags and basically said, this girl is not right for you, you do not need to date her. But in my mind, she was cute, she's funny, she loved the Lord, we went to the same church, she was a nursing major. How could this go wrong? So I was like, Lord, I don't think you know what you're talking about. I'm going to keep dating her. So I decided to keep dating her, and a few weeks into making our relationship official, The Lord spoke to me once again through a very dear friend of mine who was willing to speak truth into my life. So he started asking me about my new girlfriend. And by the end of the conversation, he basically said, if you don't end this relationship now, it's going to end in heartbreak for you and for her. She's not the right one for you. And what did I do? I didn't listen to him. I continued to date her. And 6 months later, the relationship ended and my heart was broken. And during that six-month period, my relationship with the Lord was not very good. And choosing to disobey the Lord, I unknowingly caused distance from the Lord. And this caused a lack of intimacy between myself and the Lord. And it not only affected myself, but it affected my relationships with my friends and my family. And then I also made some very poor decisions in that time. In Psalms 25:14, it says, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. He will make them know his covenant. The Hebrew word for secret is sode, which means company of persons or intimacy. So if you are to replace intimacy or secret with the word intimacy, it reads, the intimacy of the Lord is for those who fear him. He will make them know his covenant. Our Heavenly Father longs to have an intimate relationship with his children, but we must fear him, and in order to fear him, we must obey him. Amen? This leads me to my next point. In order to demonstrate a true fear of him, we need to love him. What do I mean by love? You might know. Can anybody give me an example of love? Good. It's a good example. Very good example. Yes, putting others before yourself. Very good. Okay, those are some good examples. So you think about your spouse or your kids. You would do anything for your spouse. Okay, maybe not anything for your spouse, but you would do anything for your kids, right? Anything. You're selfless. You are selflessly sacrificing your time, your energy, and yourself. And this is what God wants from us as his kids. And it actually says in Matthew 10:37 that we are supposed to love him more than our sons and our daughters, our fathers and our mothers. And let me ask you, do you normally have this same type of love for somebody that you don't know? It's possible, but normally we don't have this type of love for someone when we first meet them. But as you get to know them, your affection for them grows. And this is how it is in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. He's never going to force us to love him. But I think the more we get to know him and the more time we spend with him, through prayer and communicating with him, the more our love will grow for him. And we will talk more about how we can know him better in my last point as well. The Hebrew meaning for the word love in this passage is not referring to agape love, which is unconditional love, and it's not referring to phileo love, which is brotherly love, but it means to have affection for. So as I was reading and studying through this passage, I felt like the Lord was saying, we are to show affection for him with our innermost being. We are to give him our best in everything that we do. And we are to put him first and have an undivided heart. Amen? R.G. Letourneau was a very successful American businessman who made earth-moving machinery. 70% of his earth-moving equipment and engineering vehicles were used by the Allied forces during World War II. He had more than 300 patents to his name and major contributions to road construction and heavy equipment that forever changed the world. Most importantly, his contribution to the gospel ranks him among the greatest of Christian businessmen of all time. This man was a multimillionaire. And I have a few quotes for you from him that I wanted to share. It says, the first one says, when you go into partnership with God, you've got a partner that is closer and more active than any human partner you can ever get. He participates fully in everything that you let him do, and when you start putting on airs and thinking you're doing it with your own head of steam, he can set you down quicker and harder than a thunderbolt. There's nothing dull about being in partnership with God. This man is famous for living on 10% of his income and giving 90% to spread the gospel. He loved God and wanted to make a difference for God's kingdom. And he decided to make God his business partner. And I think a lot of times when we think of a partnership, we think of it as being split 50-50. But we see that RG was not putting himself on the same level as God. And we can see that he put God above himself and above his family. He had a wife and four kids, and he still chose to give 90% of what he earned to God. Now, this isn't a message about giving, and I'm not saying that you have to give 90% of your money away and only keep 10. But what I am saying is giving to God and giving him control of this area of our lives is one way that we show love for God. Amen. Another one of his quotes that I love is he says, "It's not about how much of my money I give to God, but how much of his money I keep for myself." And then my last and final quote from him says, "Love that is forced love is not real love, and God wants our real love." I love this quote because I think it hits the nail on the head. Real love comes from a place of relationship. And I believe it goes back to the first point. If we love God, then we're going to obey him. The two go hand in hand. And the closer we grow in our intimacy with God, the more we will grow in our reverence for him. And the more we grow in our love for him, I truly believe that we're not going to want to sin. We're going to try and avoid things that displease the Lord. And I'm not saying that we can live sinless lives. But what I am saying is, as we grow in our love for the Lord, we will begin to love the things that he loves, and we will hate the things that he hates. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands," in John 14:15. And he says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and reveal myself to him." This leads me to my third and final point. If we want to grow in our reverential love and obedience for our Heavenly Father, then we must know him. So if we want to demonstrate a true fear of him, we must know him through his word. Amen? We cannot have a relationship with somebody if we don't know their character, or if we really don't know who they are. And God doesn't want us just to know about him, but he wants us to know him personally. As we talked about last week, there's a difference between knowing someone and only knowing about someone. So for example, I'm going to use Brian. Before I knew Brian, maybe I saw him on Facebook, or I'd heard things about him from other people. However, if I'd only seen pictures of Brian and heard things about him, I wouldn't actually know him for myself. It's more than just knowing information about the person. In order to know someone, you have to have a relationship with them. And in order for me to know Brian, I would actually need to spend time with him. I would need to get to know him. I would need to have conversations with him and ask him questions. And I think that's a similar idea with God. We may know a lot about him through other people, what other people say, what the pastor says from the pulpit. But if we don't actually spend time ourselves with God through reading his word, through communicating with him through prayer, then all we know is a lot of information and facts about God, and we don't know him personally for ourselves. According to a recent survey by Lifeway Research, only 12% of Christians have read through the entire Bible. This leads me to believe that we don't know God's word very well, and I think this is one of the biggest reasons why we don't know God personally, and why we don't know what it means to fear him, nor do we know how to walk in that fear. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And how is our mind transformed? Through God's word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it alone. It's our guide. It's our source of information. And I have a few quotes from you from Ronald Reagan, the 40th president of the United States. The first one says, "Of the many influences that have shaped the United States of America into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more influential and enduring than the Bible." Another one of my favorite quotes from Ronald Reagan is, within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all problems men will face. My last and final quote from him says, "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." This is coming from one of the most influential and powerful men of his time. Ronald Reagan was a man who truly feared the Lord and recognized the importance of knowing God through his word. This isn't something that happens overnight. It's a learning process. Just when you are learning to play an instrument or learning to hear God's voice, or trying to learn a new skill, it comes with practice. And the more we do it, the easier it becomes. And just like R.G. Letourneau decided to make God his business partner, it is a daily decision that we have to make. It is our responsibility to determine whether we are going to walk in the fear of the Lord every single day of our lives or not. Family, let me conclude with this example of a biblical figure that really understood well what it meant to walk in the fear of the Lord. King Josiah. 2 Kings 23, verse 25 says, "Before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to the law of Moses. Nor did anyone like him arise after him." Family, let's take this time and respond to our Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you that you desire for us to have a deep and intimate relationship with you. I thank you that you gave us your word and enable us to supernaturally know you through your word. Lord, would you give us an unquenchable thirst and desire and discipline and excitement to know you through your living word? And as we grow in our intimacy with you, would you teach us what it means to obey you? Would you teach us what it means to love you with all our hearts and with all our soul and with all our might? And would you allow our desires to become your desires? Would you enable us to love the things that you love and to hate the things that you hate? Lord Jesus, we need you, and we cannot do this without you. All of this is in your name and for your glory. Amen.